Good morning, Harbor of Joy.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath to you. We're all missing Melissa this morning. We are leaderless. So we're back to the old lady. I'm sorry about that, but we'll worship the Lord. He doesn't care. Just as long as we worship him and praise him, we'll do our very best, even though we're leaderless. Why don't you stand while we sing "Hear My Lord"?
I want you to know that there are peaches available off of our tree in the cardboard box out there, and there might not be any left. But I did bring them. And I want you to know that you can grow peaches in Iowa. So they're there. It's off of one tree. We only had 3 peaches last year, so nothing was given. The year before, we didn't have any. And now this year, we've got over a couple hundred. And heavy enough to break branches off of the tree. Anyway, just want you to help yourself. There's little paper bags out there. I don't know if they're completely ripe or not, but they had to be picked. So they're there. If they go, they go. And I don't know if there'll be any more after this or not. But we're going to be gone next Sunday. But Pastor Jeff Griffiths will be here from Estherville. And then Becky Rowe will be leading the service next Sunday. So we're going to a wedding. I have to do a wedding in Minnesota, up close to Detroit Lakes. That's where we're going to be. And then I'm supposed to go, I shouldn't say I'm supposed to, I want to go fishing with Dean Ramsey on Lake Lyda. But Dean's got surgery tomorrow. But you know Dean Ramsey, he says the doctors told him he could be fishing by Saturday. And I'm in a guarded mode here. I go like, let's take it one step at a time and we'll see what happens. But he will. He probably will not be here on Wednesday night. It is Wednesday night fellowship. Ron Knutson is speaking about the flight, the honor flight that he was on to go to Washington, D.C. It's also his 91st birthday this Wednesday. But don't tell him you heard it from here. Mm-hmm. Heard it from me. But we can surprise him with that. That's this Wednesday night. And Dean said he's going to provide the meat. And just ask you to bring a side dish like you always have done in the past. And we look forward to that this coming Wednesday night. Tuesday night is a church council meeting at 7 o'clock. And you also have grief share Tuesday afternoon from 12:30 to 2 o'clock. And the prayer partners at 9:30 a.m. Just went backwards in case you were wondering, why is he going backwards? I just saw it there. That's the way it is. And so just keep those things in mind. We got prayer requests, people that have come back, have gotten out of the hospital. Nick Ballas is one. And wow. Wayne Sunday is in the hospital recovering and taking therapy for his foot in Estherville. And Dean Ramsey, of course, has surgery tomorrow. But Dean's been through a lot. He says when it rains, it pours. It's always one thing after another with him. He's got a grandson that was flown to Salt Lake City for a removal of a tumor in his head. And he has lost some vision through that. Not that he had great vision before, but there's some things there that are going on. And then his son, Rob Ramsey, we've been praying for him for a while. He has just gone without the use of arms and legs and those kinds of things. And he's at home, though, but a lot of care needs to be done for him. He's been informed that he might have to move to Tennessee for his job. They want to give him an office job. Get that. I don't understand that either. So that's something to be praying about, too. We don't know when that will happen, if it'll happen, or what, but that's the direction which they're headed. And some of that is there's really not a lot of medical help in Las Vegas. That's where he's at. There's much more at the eastern part of the U.S. So Tennessee could be something. Actually, I think they're going to move to probably North Carolina, where Duke is, because there's a hospital there. Where is a chapel? What's it called? Chapel what? Yeah. Whatever. But just be praying for that. That's going to be taking place in their lives here along the way. There's other things in your bulletin today, front and back. Vicki Anderson has become a grandma again for the second time. They live out in Rapid City, South Dakota. And so Molly was her first granddaughter, and now she has 2 granddaughters. Olivia showed up this past week, And so she's out there helping her daughter, Sydney, with that bundle of joy, as well as with Jimmy as well out there. So keep them in your prayers. And if you see her, say like, oh, you're a grandma again, I hear. You can tell that to her when you see her. There's other things in your bulletin. Please read them, and you'll probably hear more about them even next Sunday as well, like the women's luncheon that's coming up on the 27th of this month. You need to sign up for that, so they just need to kind of know how many people to expect when they go to the places where they go to. This is at a Perkins here in Milford, so it's not that far away. Anyway, let's have a word of prayer together, and it's good to see everyone here, if I hadn't said that already, because you're all a peach. I want you to know that. You're all a peach. Heavenly Father, thank you for these peaches that are here this morning, and Lord, we are thankful that we are the apple of your eye, as your word says and calls us. We thank you that we can come and worship you today, and Lord, may we leave today different than the way that we came. May we know that we spent time in your presence, that we have truly worshiped you with our whole heart, and not just here going through the motions or through routine or things like that. We're just grateful for everyone that is here today. Thank you that the praise team here is leading us in worship here today. We pray that you be with Melissa and her family as they have moved down to Cedar Rapids. A whole new thing for them, and it's also a whole new thing for us too as a praise team too. And so we pray your blessing as only you can give to all that goes on, not only in people's lives, but also in our country and in our whole world, things that are going on. We know that there's a lot of loss that people are dealing with, if it's through wars, if it's through famine, if it's through natural disasters, if it's the loss of homes, the loss of a way of life just taken out from underneath people's feet. All of a sudden, that was never planned, never seen, but it all came about so quickly. And Lord, we know that you are coming again, and it will be that way too. It'll be like a thief in the night, that we don't know when you're coming, but we can be ready. And that's the importance of being here today, is that we know that we're ready to meet you. And if we're not ready, today's an opportunity where we can be ready whenever you come. Because no one knows the day nor the hour. And so we just pray that we would know you in a personal way today, and to know that our sins are forgiven and that our soul is right with you because of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us today and in the days ahead. Be with our prayer requests that are in the bulletin today and all the things that are taking place in the lives of people. May you use these things in people's lives that will draw them closer to you, because you have always been close to us. Whenever we say, Lord, come. Come into my life. Or just a simple little prayer of saying, Lord, help me. I'm going to go under the water and drown if you don't help me. And so we just pray, Lord, that it can be a simple little prayer just like that. Just help me. Be with us today, and thank you for everyone that has come. And we lift up this time to you in your name. Amen. Oh, there's a call to worship. Okay. Psalm 119, verses 81 through 84a, just the beginning of verse 84. It says this: my soul faints with longing for your salvation. But I have put my hope in your word. My eyes fail, looking for your promise. I say, when will you comfort me? Though I am like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your decrees. How long must your servant wait? Have you ever felt that way? We can all relate to that. Hang in there. Persevere.
We're going to sing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. In the second verse, we are going to omit all of the instruments so that I can hear all of your voices. And the praise band is going to sing it in four parts, so enjoy that.
Responsive reading today says this: Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again.
Rejoice in the Lord.
Oh, yeah, we'll do that again. I want to hear from you. Your word is just one word called rejoice. Okay? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again.
Rejoice.
That's okay.
Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, this is Paul, not me, or seen in me, put it into practice.
And the God of peace will be with you.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God.
And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. pardon, made the dead and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power I'll tell. How the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing, oh my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love for me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God. Sing, oh my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
Thank you, praise band. I believe you're done. You can have a seat. I invite everyone here to stand up as we hear God's word comes to us in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 23, verses 16 to 32. Jeremiah 23, 16 through 32. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Very key that you hear just that part. Thus saith the Lord to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah repeats what God is telling him. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says, you will have peace. And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, no harm will come to you. But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? See, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath, a whirlwind will swirling down on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he fully accomplishes the purposes of his heart. In days to come, you will understand it clearly. I did not send these prophets, yet they have run with their message. I did not speak to them, yet they have prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people and would have turned them from their evil ways and from their evil deeds. I am only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away. Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth? Declares the Lord. I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream. I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their fathers forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Therefore declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who steal from one another words supposedly from me. Yes, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who wag their own tongues and yet declare, the Lord declares, instead I am against those who prophesy false dreams, declares the Lord. They tell them and lead my people astray with their reckless lies. Yet I did not send or appoint them. They do not benefit these people in the least, declares the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that is before us today. May it become life to us and for us. We thank you, Lord, for the instructions. And it's probably more than just instructions. It's what you say. It's not what I'm saying. It's not what Jeremiah is saying. Jeremiah is just repeating what you have said to him. And a lot of times that's what I do as well. And so we just come before you, Lord, knowing that we need you in our lives. Help us to be sensitive and to be alert and to be watchful for a lot of the things that are said and we hear in your word here in Jeremiah. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if you realize it, but there's a lot of deception in what is read here today, right? If you don't see it, it's there. And deception is not anything new. What you've heard is something that has been going on for centuries. And as you can see, it has never been resolved. It continues. Since Jeremiah's time, even up to today as well. How do I know that? I mean, I just go back to what God's word says. We know Jeremiah's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have Jesus himself talking and speaking to the disciples and the people, and he is warning them about deception. You find that in Matthew 24:4. You find it in Luke, the two Gospels in the New Testament. Luke 21:8 will talk about false prophets and false teachers, and it just goes to show that you have these things that are at work even today. You can go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Even talk about false teachers in there from Peter. Jesus, we know he was betrayed by one of his own, Judas Iscariot. You know, betrayal has a lot to do with being deceived as well. Now, you can't really deceive Jesus because he knew why he was going to Jerusalem and what was going to happen there, even among one of his own disciples who betrayed him. And we know that Jesus went voluntarily to the cross, even knowing this about one of his own. He still went to the cross and died for you and died for me. After knowing what was going to take place, how it was going to happen, all the things that he had to endure to bring salvation to all of mankind and to us. We know that Jesus was called the Lamb of God by none other than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said, he takes away the sins of the world. Are you part of the world? I'm a part of the world, so are you. That means he would take on himself our sins, even though we are born many years later than when Jesus went to the cross. We think of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, a perfect place, and yet they were deceived, right? By the serpent, by the evil one. How can that be? It's been going on since the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. There's a lot of different places you can look in the scriptures where you find that there has been deception at work of people persuading others to do something against the Lord, and they thought they were doing the right thing, and finding out later on that they have been taken Sometimes we get phone calls or texts or emails. People want you to believe them and to call them, or sometimes just to open it up, and they got you. They got your email address. They got your phone number. They got your cell phone. And then they want, you know, we hear of different times in the news of people who have lost all kinds of cash because they've sent it to this person when they thought it was somebody else or somebody really in need, and it was a scam. And maybe you've been one of those that has been taken, but maybe you've been wise enough to go like, I'm not going to fall for this one. Erase it. Delete it. Whatever it is that you have to do today. It's much easier today than it ever has been. Just with your finger, you can acknowledge something that you have no idea what you're doing, but somebody else is out there to get something from you. And they want you to click their website or to click their email, to click their cell phone text or whatever it is. It's happening even today. Hiding the truth is not anything new. Hiding the truth. Persuading someone to believe in something that is not true today or has happened even today goes on. So let's go back into the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah that we just heard here today. And this was way before Jesus was even born, where we hear God speaking to one of his prophets, Jeremiah, about people claiming to be prophets, and they've never spent any time with God at all, in prayer or listening to a still small voice. They're just doing it on their own. So let's go back and see what it says about false prophets that were around in the day of Jeremiah, because they were there. And a lot of times they were very important people. They hobnobbed along with important people in the community and within the city. They would probably wear certain kinds of clothing that would demand respect from the people, or they'd kind of go like, I wish I could be one of those guys, or have that place of power. They were there in Jeremiah's day as well as even before him. There's no wonder why Jeremiah's name was called what? The weeping prophet. He was called a weeping prophet because he knew from the very beginning when God called him as a youth, no one was going to listen to him. No matter what he would preach, no matter what he would say to the people, they would not listen to him. Even when he gave them the truth, they would not listen to him. No wonder he was called a weeping prophet, because he knew every time he'd say something, people just, who cares? That's just him. Well, Jeremiah, he's telling the people what God has told him. So that's where I emphasize in the very beginning. It's kind of like, thus says the Lord Almighty. This is what God is saying to Jeremiah to tell to the people who will not listen to him anyway. But it's thus saith the Lord. Just because someone claims to be a prophet doesn't make this person one. We know that Jesus said in Luke 4, verse 24, says that no prophet is accepted in his own hometown. Jesus is looked upon as a prophet. And he always, I'll get into that a little bit more later here, but a prophet is someone who speaks God's word. And how do you know this person's a prophet? Because what they say comes true. It happens. It's not going to be vague. It's not going to be something that can happen all over the place. It's something that's specific, and it's going to happen. Just because someone claims to be a prophet doesn't make them one. They give false hope. In other words, if they give false hope, they're not telling you the truth. They are people who don't speak the truth. They want you to believe you're hearing the truth, but they don't speak the truth because they give a false hope. They speak about personal experiences like visions and dreams, and their own imaginations take off. We can get caught up in a lot of the stories. We can get caught up in a lot of the things that might be said and kind of go like, wow, that was great. That was wonderful. When really, it didn't happen or it's not true. We are not immune from these kinds of things either, as they were back then. A false prophet is someone who likes to tell the people that whatever they hear from them, it's going to be that wonderful word that comes out all the time, everywhere. It used to be at the Miss America pageant when the people, the gals that get picked for the Miss America, they'd always give a speech on what? You got it. Just peace in the world. I just hope there would be peace in this world. It's kind of interesting how people want peace. We hear it even today. But they'll never go to the one who is the peace and be given the peace that he's able to give to us, who's Jesus Christ. God says, in order for there to be peace in people's lives, first comes repentance. What if someone just says, well, repent? No, I want peace. God says, repent. Repentance will humble you. Repentance will go against your grain. You don't like that word, repent. But God says, repent first. If peace is ever going to come into your life, he already knows what you have done, what you have said, what you think. And that's why we repent. False prophets appeal to the emotions of their hearers. Did you hear that? False prophets appeal to the emotions of their hearers, those who come to hear them and to listen to them. Emotions, another way to look at emotions, are feelings. Their message is one of nothing will happen to you or harm you as long as you do something for me or what I'm telling you to do. I remember of, some of you remember Oral Roberts, right? That's a name that I think stands out for a lot of us. Can you believe he sent out a letter to all of his people who follow him? And he said that if he didn't come up with X amount of dollars by a certain day, he was going to die. What do you think those that followed him would do? Send money. I don't know if he reached it or not, but he didn't die, so he must have made it. I don't know. But he ended up still dying. We all will die unless Jesus comes first to receive his own. So we find that false prophets, they can use their charm, they can use their charisma, they have smooth words to persuade you and me to listen and to follow them. We find that there are three offices that teach and confirmation to the students, three offices that Jesus Christ holds. He is a, first of all, he's a prophet. That's the first office. He's a prophet. What does that mean? It means he's there to tell us about who God is and what he's like. He is going to tell you the truth. The second office is high priest. That means Jesus is the mediator for us. The high priest functioned that way, that he would be the mediator for the whole nation of Israel, or those that believed in the God of Israel. But he would, one day, they call it the Day of Atonement, he would stand and repent for the people of the sins that they have done, so that God would grant them forgiveness and that they could make it through another year. But he was a high priest. The high priest held a very prestigious place in the life of the Israelites. He was there in the temple, the only one that could go behind the curtain to the Ark of the Covenant once a year. He could only do that. And if he went behind there, you'd have to put on his, it was not a, oh, what do they put on criminals' ankles these days? Well, it kind of keeps track of people. It monitors them, you know? They didn't do that with the high priest, but they would just put on his ankle a little bell so that when he went behind the curtain, they could tell that he was still alive by the listening to the bell. Yeah, he's not dead. If he didn't hear the bell anymore, it's like, uh-oh, so they had to pull him out. That's where the rope would come in around the ankle. Very interesting. And it was the one who went behind the curtain did it with fear and trembling. You're hoping that you have all your I's dotted and your T's crossed, that you were right with God, if you're going to go behind that curtain to the Ark of the Covenant, because you know that God was going to be there. It might be the last day of your life. The third office is Jesus is king. So you have prophet, high priest, and king. A king rules over his kingdom. The king is the one who will take care of his citizens. How do you become a citizen into the kingdom of God? Are you a citizen of the kingdom of God? Because there's also another kingdom called the kingdom of evil, the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of the devil, and they clash. But may you be a kingdom, a citizen of the kingdom of God today. We talked about that in Vacation Bible School, I think, the kingdom of God. Right, Jasmine? It's okay. We talked about the kingdom, being a kingdom of God. You can lay on your mom's lap. That's fine. You're okay. But we're talking about false prophets here at Jeremiah. And we find that false prophets, they like following their egos and will entice you to believe in them. They will say that God told them this or God told them that, when they never have sought God's counsel at all. But you and I would never know that. But they say a lot of things. So what do we do? Well, we just look at what was God's response here to the false prophets and the false teaching that was going on in the day of Jeremiah. God's response to the false prophets was, I did not send this message to these guys. I have not told these prophets what they're saying. What is it like for you if you find out that someone has said something that you have said when you never said it, but they told other people you did? How does that make you feel? You okay with that? Or do you want to kind of straighten the record out and go like, I didn't say that. Well, everybody else believes they did, that you did, because they heard it from so-and-so. It can spread like a prairie fire. It can spread like a wildfire in the mountains. We see some of that on the news. Prairie fire. There are things that do happen like that unless you go to the source and say, did you say this? Because that's not what I said. I've heard this just in the last year. You say that Harbor of Joy is your church. I go, what? I've never said that. If I did say that, it was always because it's God's church. It's God's church. It's not my church. I'm the pastor of the church here, but it's still God's church. I just do what I know a pastor is supposed to do, if I can. But it gets you angry, doesn't it? When somebody says something about you that you never said, and no one's come to talk to you about that, you hear about it through the grapevine from somebody else. So how many people get told this stuff? No, God does. But God says, not only did he not speak to these false prophets, they tell lies by using his name. What they are saying are lies, even though they said that they heard this from God. And he says that he's against those who steal words that are supposedly from him. They're saying they're God's word when God's never said these things. He says, I'm against the prophets who wag their own tongues and declare my name. I'm against those who lead my people astray with their lies. And that's really the big problem with false prophets. It leads you not to the Lord. They lead you in ways to go away from him. And back in the day, in Jeremiah's day, it's the people of Israel, the false prophets wanted them to look at their neighbors. What are the neighbors worshiping over there? What are the neighbors involved in around their nation of Israel? And guess what the Israelites like to do? Copy and follow their neighbors. Their neighbors worshiped idols. What did Israel like to do? Not all of them. But a lot of them did. They worshiped idols. The best place to go is back in the day when Moses was leading the people of Israel. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse... I'd say this, the whole chapter of 18, Deuteronomy 18, is good to read. But you'll find in there kind of what the neighbors did, and then what a real prophet is. And that's where it says, and it's Moses who writes Deuteronomy. Moses, he himself would be a prophet. That he says in Deuteronomy, he wrote it, or somebody wrote it, what he said, but it talks about that when a prophet speaks, it's like E.F. Hutton. People listen. And it will come true. If it doesn't come true, then a person's not a prophet. That's how God works. So be very careful who you listen to or what people may say. I always go back to what God says in his word. In conclusion, which means coming to the end. God is always for us. Always has been, always will be. He wants to show us, he wants to tell us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. Did you catch that? God's word is like that. It'll tell us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. Whenever you come to a conclusion in your life over solving something going on in your life, or if you're needing direction or some kind of guidance and you want God to show you or to help you with that, and you get to that conclusion, you think, that's what I know what God wants me to do, check that out with what God's word says. Then you know for sure that this is what God wants you to do. It will always connect with his word. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know that you'll know what you do, that it's based on God's word and not on your own feelings. Oftentimes, that's what gets in the way, feelings. I think there was a song about feelings a long time ago, wasn't there? Feelings. I don't know what the words are to that, other than that one. But feelings. Not too many times we go by our feelings. I even do that. So don't think I'm above you in any way. I did get a text this past week of a friend of mine who had received a handwritten letter, but he couldn't read it. So he sent it to me. I could read it because I could open it up bigger on my phone. Surprised I can even do that. And so I read it, and I texted him back because what the letter had said was for him to go on the internet to jw.org. Does JW ring a bell? Jehovah Witness. I texted him back and said, stay away from that website. Don't go there. Don't answer the person that even sent this to you. Chances are, this person doesn't even know who you are. But this is part of what they want you to do. So we got that not only with Jehovah Witnesses, but we even have that today with the Church of Latter-day Saints, which is also known as the Church of Mormon, the Mormons, Latter-day Saints. They don't believe, even though they say they believe in the Bible. They don't believe everything that's in the Bible. The one thing is always, is Jesus God? Any cult will laugh at you and say, of course not. Or if they agree with you, you'll say like, okay, so how is he God? And he'll never be able to answer that. Cults are probably the modern day false teachers and false prophets. But they can happen even in churches today. It used, you know, many years ago, you could go to any church and you'd probably hear a good message. Nowadays, it's not that way, is it? You got to be careful of where you go to church as well. So that means there can be false teachers, there can be false pastors in churches today. And the good news is it's going to get worse before Jesus comes. Why do you think Jesus said, don't be deceived in the last days? We're in them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that are true for us. Even if we don't like them, you're big enough to say, well, people have done that before throughout history. And some of them saw the ways in which they were going that it turned out it was against thus saith the Lord. Lord, may we not be one of those. We don't want to be one of those that goes wandering away from you. We want to be one of those that is always with you and can say that everything is well with my soul because of Jesus Christ and Him only. Jesus is a prophet, but He is also the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. That's John 14:6. Lord, thank You for sending us Your Son, who is the truth and the way and the life. Thank You that He was the perfect sacrifice for all mankind. Thank You that we do not have to worry about bringing a dove or a lamb or a goat or a cow or something to come to be sacrificed for our personal sins, or our special pet that we have in our house that would have to die for our sins. Jesus took that all away. And we thank Him for loving us as much as He does. And He makes it so simple that by faith we believe and trust in Him, what He's done for us. May that always be important to us, today and every day. So Lord, may we be followers of Your truth. May that always be the case. And Your word is truth. We ask these things as we pray the prayer that You taught Your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us rise as we say the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Receive the benediction before the last song, Seek Ye First, as we find it in Numbers, the Old Testament, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Go ahead, Karen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God. This has got two verses, and you're singing it right out of the Bible from the 6th and 7th chapter of Matthew.
do what she says.
Reached a little confidence with you. Jasmine needed candy, so I said, I think